Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, every old building comes with ghost stories. What made this school different was how many people walked in as skeptics and walked out with a story of their own.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, it is. Welcome to the show. 855-853-4802. The phone number, if you'd like to share your real ghost stories with us, we'd love to hear them. And be sure to press subscribe wherever you are listening or downloading podcasts or watching us. We're back on YouTube. You can join us there. You can watch us there. Please go subscribe and join us as well on the YouTube. Tony, Todd, and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. Hello, everyone.
We're getting close. We're getting close.
So close.
To what?
I don't know. It seems like there's an event coming up, but I can't for the life of me remember what it is.
Oh, yes. We got a party coming up. Yeah, I'm going to be
get together.
I'm going to be maritally wed again in my life, which I'm ready for it. I'm happy. I'm good. It's been, I think, like 6 years from my divorce, somewhere around there.
Probably,
It was kind of towards the start of COVID. And,
I thought we were having a company retreat, but you're getting married?
Oh, is that? Well, that's... Yeah, that's one of the side attractions. It's like it's an optional event you can attend on one of the nights of the retreat.
Oh, okay. I don't have to go.
Yeah, no. There's also a drum circle option for you, too, down by the creek. It's one or the other. So,
Drum circle. Yeah, I've never done a drum circle before.
I don't know. It seems like an outdoorsy thing to do at a retreat.
Do you need me at the wedding?
I've never been to a retreat. I've never done a retreat, you know? I don't know what you do at a retreat.
Other I don't than like what either. I've seen on TV. I've never done one. I've never worked for a company that could have afforded us to have a retreat. We'll have lunch, but you need to bring your own.
It's like the retreat is like to Applebee's maybe, you know, or something like that. And everybody, we're going to share this buffalo wild, or there's these buffalo wings. We're going to get one order for the table of 20. And everybody gets half a wing.
Because we all worked in radio for so long. And radio really is like a family that's on welfare because they're so poor. Uh-huh. Because my family was on welfare when I was a kid, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like that. It's like, well, we could have that luncheon, but we will need to trade it.
Right.
Because we can't buy any food for the staff.
Trade.
And if it's not on trade, then we're just not going to have the get-together. And there's not going to be that meeting. Yeah.
And we would love to have station T-shirts, but we can't afford them. Or the magnets, or the pens, or the anything. It's like, there's nothing. And I don't think that's changed too much.
Well, don't you think that, because I think at one point in radio, they did spend a lot of money on promotion. They really did. And then, you know, the companies started grabbing more off the top, and more off the top, mm-hmm. and more off the top. And all of a sudden, there was no money to do any promotion. There was no money for staff. Yeah. But all the big dogs were getting paid. You know, so
there was this time where they could just continue to skate along and make the same amount of money, whether they did it or not. And then eventually it all just started to fall apart. And they're like, why does nobody care about us anymore? Like, I haven't been present in anyone's lives for the last 15 years.
I just got word from a friend of mine who was on like his third round with the company that continues to let people go. And he was doing really well, great ratings on several stations and several markets, and he just got laid off yesterday. So
how nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Eek. Yes, ma'am.
iHeartRadio. Hi, if you're listening to us on iHeart, how are you doing today?
And their big campaign, and I don't want to just, you know, say bad things about them, but their big campaign is they're not AI, right? Yeah. Their big campaign is we're real people. Well, yeah, but you've got two real people and then nobody. So it may not be AI, but you're still using technology.
But so then I did put out a weird memo yesterday that it was, we want to do things faster. It was all about faster and more efficient. And that memo kind of made the rounds because it makes it sound like everybody's going to be replaced by AI. That's how it would be faster and more efficient. So I don't know. I don't know what they do.
They can call it whatever they want. I mean, it essentially is AI. AI would be an improvement, actually.
Right.
AI would, because what they have is called automation, you know, and it's just, it's computers, it's an algorithm, and then you have it, you know, you insert your recorded people in there, if you even have them, which most of them just, there's no people, period. It's just a big voice guy between songs, if that. So actually, I'd welcome AI. It would probably sound better than the current state of things.
It's, when you think about it, radio was one of the first things to go kind of AI because of the automation systems and all that kind of stuff, where you didn't have to have somebody sitting in the seat to play the record and to give the weather forecast. A person would have to put it together previous, you know, before it, but it would, you know, was still playing out by itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Good old land of radio. The ghost town that it's unfortunately become. I'm having radio dreams like every night right now.
Oh, it's stress.
I think because it's stress. Yes. Yeah. Last night I was in Traverse City, Michigan, doing mornings again on 106 KHQ. And we're going up there for our honeymoon. And
to the radio station.
No, I'm not going to the radio station. I makes it stop in. Hey, remember me? 20 some years
ago.
Can
I look around?
Yeah. And, but I dreamt I was there and I was doing the morning show and I was like, okay, this will be fun. And then I was back in at Sunny and you were there. And then all of a sudden it was like, I wasn't allowed to do the show anymore and nobody would talk to me.
Oh, why? No.
That could be for so many different reasons.
I'm like, what did I do? Like, I thought this was my job. And I'm like, what am I going to do now? I was like completely like befuddled. Like, if I can't do the morning show on Sunny, what am I going to do with my life? And I literally had no other thoughts in my mind at that moment in that dream. It's just like,
it's just funny how you can have stress in your life, like, because you're planning a really big event, making a major life change. That causes stress. There's no way around that.
Yeah.
But your brain deals with it in dreams as going back to radio station stress.
Yeah.
Which instead of just like, I'm trying to get to the wedding, I'm trying to get there and I keep getting delayed. It's like, it goes back to radio. Like I still have dreams about waiting tables.
Yeah.
I waited tables in a very long time.
Yeah.
But it's like, I can't get to that table. Their food's up. They keep sitting me. I can't get to the new table. I can't get the food out. It's just.
Or you could be exhausting. Like Carol and have dreams about your wedding where you're in a hot tub. Remember that from last week?
Yeah, I did. I had that dream where Tony was actually saying his vows in a hot tub.
Oh, yeah.
Just the two of them. We're all awkwardly standing around the hot tub.
That'd be an interesting thing to take into the restaurant, a big hot tub. And then we're just like, hi.
We want to get married in it, so start filling it up in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to see if we can do that. That'd be a fun little addition, you know?
Yeah.
Or
you could each do a cold plunge. How long can you stay in there?
I don't know how people do that. Now that's the stuff of nightmares right there, the cold
plunge.
I can't.
It's like, why even bother? Because it's going to be out of fashion. In a year anyway.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to be like, oh, remember when everybody did the cold plunge?
Yeah. I just, that just seems like utter hell.
Oh
no
my
way.
God, no. No.
It's like the last thing I'd do. I would probably skydive before I would, I don't know. It's like right up there.
Nope, I wouldn't do that either.
It's up. I wouldn't do either, but it's like, if you got a choice, I don't know. Maybe cold plunge, but yeah. Todd, did you ever do the polar plunge in Wisconsin?
No.
Were you ever roped into that?
No.
I was attempted to be several times and I was like, nope,
I kept
never
getting
gonna do that.
Nominated for it. And I'm like, I'm not doing it.
Yep. No way.
Like, I will donate to ALS.
Yes.
I made donations, which is more than a lot of other people did.
I know.
I gave donations, but I'm like, I am not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just too much. That's a horror story. All right, let's go to our first ghost story of the day. And I should let you know, there's a musical selection afterwards that corresponds to this. So after the record, flip it over to hear the musical selection. Let's go to it. It starts with, he had been working construction long enough that old buildings did not bother him. Every project seemed to come with stories. Somebody always knew something, who had seen something, heard something, or experienced something they couldn't explain. Most of the time, those stories faded once the work began. After all, there was usually a perfectly reasonable explanation for strange noises in an old building. That was more or less what he expected when he was assigned to the old school renovation. The elementary school had been sitting empty for years before a developer bought it and announced plans to convert it to apartments. It was a large project that would take months to complete, and because he was one of the carpenters brought in early, he would end up spending more time in that building than most people. The school still looked surprisingly familiar despite years of neglect. Classroom numbers remained above the doors. Bulletin boards still hung in the hallways, and faded decorations clung to a few walls. The place felt abandoned, but it still felt like a school. The first strange thing he remembers hearing about happened in the weeks into the projects. He was working in the old classroom, in one of the old classrooms, when an electrician came through looking for a ladder. The man seemed irritated because he was convinced he had left it outside in the hallway. Several workers helped him search before somebody finally found it three classrooms down. Nobody thought much about it at the time. Construction sites are busy places. Equipment gets moved and people forget things. The electrician blamed another crew. Another crew blamed him for forgetting where he left it. And by the end of the day, everyone was joking about it. Looking back, it was the first of many stories. Over the next several weeks, workers occasionally mentioned odd things. A tool left in one room turned up somewhere else. Someone found a door standing open, and they were sure that they had closed it earlier. None of it sounded particularly important on its own, but the stories never seemed to stop. Every few days, somebody would mention something strange that had happened while they were working alone. And then came the drywall incident. He was eating lunch in the old cafeteria when a crash echoed through the building. Several workers jumped up and headed upstairs, expecting to find a stack of drywall had fallen over. He followed them. Earlier that morning, three workers had stacked the drywall neatly against a classroom wall. Now the entire pile was sitting in the middle of the room. The sheets were still stacked together almost perfectly. They weren't broken and they weren't scattered. They had simply moved. The foreman blamed the crew. The crew blamed the foreman. Eventually, everyone back to work. But something about it stayed with people. As the months passed, it felt like everybody working in that building eventually had a story of their own. Not necessarily a ghost story, just something they couldn't explain. One guy heard footsteps behind him while working alone and assumed another crew had arrived. When he turned around, nobody was there. Another worker swore somebody called out to him from the end of the hallway, only to discover he was the only person on that floor. Most people laughed about those things at first, but after a while, the jokes became less frequent. The stories kept coming, and the longer the project went on, the more workers admitted they didn't like being in the building by themselves. Months passed at different phases of the renovation as they were completed. Some workers naturally moved on to other projects while their portion of the job was finished. Others asked to be transferred elsewhere. A few simply decided they didn't want to work there anymore. One of them was a painter who arrived near the end of the renovation and lasted less than a week. The painter approached him one afternoon and asked if they could talk outside. And once they were away from the rest of the crew, he explained that he had been painting one of the finished apartments when he heard a loud bang. I repeat, bang, somewhere in the hallway. Thinking another crew was working nearby, he stepped out to investigate. The hallway was empty. What bothered him wasn't the noise itself, but the fact that every apartment door along the corridor was standing open. He was certain they had all been closed earlier that morning, and although he couldn't explain why, the sight of them unsettled them. The sight of them unsettled him enough that he was no longer wanting to work in the building. Before he went back inside, the painter looked back towards the old school and quietly said something that stayed with him for years. I don't think I'm supposed to be in that building. Later that afternoon, the painter packed up his supplies and left. Nobody ever saw him on the project again. By then, he had heard enough stories that he understood why some workers didn't like being there. He still wasn't ready to leave, though. The project was nearing completion, and he had spent too many months on the job to walk away. Besides, nothing significant had happened to him personally. He'd heard the stories and witnessed some of the aftermath, but he still felt removed from it all. That changed only a few weeks later. He was carrying materials through one of the old classroom wings late in the afternoon. Most of the crew had already left for the day, and the building had become unusually quiet. The sounds of saws, drills, and hammering had faded hours earlier. Only a handful of workers remained elsewhere in the building, finishing up before heading home. As he walked down the hallway, he felt something shove him hard between the shoulder blades. Not a brush against his back, not losing his balance, a shove, the kind that immediately makes you turn around ready to say something. He stumbled forward and caught himself against the wall before spinning around. The hallway behind him was empty. For several moments, he simply stood there staring. His first thought was that somebody was playing a prank. So he checked nearby rooms and looked around corners. Every room was empty. He never told himself it was a ghost. Even now, years later, he doesn't call it that. He only knows what it felt like. Something pushed him, and there was nobody there. When he left work that evening, he sat in his truck for a long time before starting the engine. Romanci had listened to other workers describe things they couldn't explain. He'd watched people leave a project that paid well and was nearing completion. He'd heard the stories, dismissed most of them, and convinced himself there had to be reasonable explanations. Now he had one of his own. A few days later, he told the contractor he wanted off the project. The contractor barely seemed surprised. He didn't ask questions or try to change his mind. He simply nodded. Years have passed since then. The renovation was completed, the apartments opened, and families moved in. Cars fill the parking lot now, but the building still looks very much like the elementary school it once was. The brick walls are the same, the rows of classroom windows are the same. Anyone who grew up in town would recognize it immediately. Every now and then he drives past it. The place looks completely normal. People sit on balconies, carry groceries inside, and come home from work at the end of the day. Lights glow from apartments that were once classrooms, and families now live in rooms where children once learned math, spelling, and history. Maybe whatever was happening ended when the construction did. Maybe the building finally settled into its new life. He hopes that's the case. But every time he drives past, he remembers the drywall that somehow moved across the room, the painter who decided he didn't belong there, and the feeling of a hand shoving him forward in an empty hallway. Then he looks up at those old classroom windows glowing in the dark and wonders about the people living there now. If everybody working in that building eventually had a story, what stories are being told there today?
That's
the rest of the story.
Creates a dilemma. Like, if you have worked in a place like that, all this stuff's happening to multiple people. Do you put it on their Facebook page? Like, they created this great, look, we're renovating. And you're like, yeah, but it's haunted.
You know, people talk. There's not a lot you can do these days to, you know, stop somebody from it. So I would be curious. I would do a little Googling, a little actually Redditing. That seems to be where you can find a lot of interesting information.
Oh, yeah.
Off the record, if you will, you know, and it's about as valid as an off the record report is too, but it, you know, sometimes it leads to things. And, you know, if you're going to go on Reddit and say something, I mean, there's plenty of trolls and bullshit, but if you're going to go out of your way to talk about something like that, you probably are coming from a place of truth, or at least your own reality of what you believe happened, to help somebody else out there. There's a lot of communities like that. So I could see there maybe finding something like that by searching the building up or Facebook threads or whatever. That's where I go.
Oh. Facebook threads or Instagram threads? Is there a difference? I don't even know.
I'm saying a thread. I'm not saying it's a program. I'm saying just a thread on a phone. Facebook. But threads is another thing. Instagram threads. Does anybody use that? I have an account there, but I don't think I've checked it in 2 years.
Yeah, you know, I've not been there either. Yeah.
I have threads, but I only look at it for other people's content. And I think it might automatically post some of my stuff that I post on Instagram, maybe.
Yeah, it does. I mean, mine just automatically goes over there, but I never look at it. So I have no idea.
Who really cares about my content because it's just cute animal pictures?
That's what
I would like that. I would like that.
That's all I want.
Thanks.
I'll take that any day over all the other shit.
I realized it's just easier to post animal pictures.
Yeah.
And leave it at that. Like, I think that's how cute my dog is today. Isn't he adorable?
Yeah. No, I think that's a wonderful thing. There is this story happens to have inspired a musical performance.
Oh,
and it's an interpretation of the situation that they found themselves in from another angle. This song is from the perspective of the ghost, and the ghost, you may be surprised, happens to be a lunch lady, a former lunch lady of the school that has come back and is none too happy.
Safe for work?
No. Okay. It's not.
It's fun to know what to prepare myself.
I don't think we have strong sexual content in this one, but it is, it's more along the lines of Saw than anything else. Okay. So I'll give you that warning right now. It's a lovely little tune. I hope you're all going to enjoy
Lunch Lady.
It's called Lunch Lady Love. Can you guys hear that?
No.
All right. I guess we got to adjust something here. Stand by. Oh, I think I know what it is. I think it's because it's coming up through that it's going to be playing through there. Let me try and make an adjustment here.
Technology is always fun. It used to be you plug something in, you press play, and it worked. Now you got to figure out the mapping on crap, and this goes there. And
all right, I hope this doesn't screw anything up. I'll jump back if it does.
Okay. Okay. It's coming back to me now.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Now I'm back at the other one. Are you there?
I'm here. That's perfect.
Okay, but because that's coming through Chrome and you guys are on Chrome, that's where my problem is lying right now. Let's see here. I can probably download the song. And
because I really need to hear this song.
Yeah, no kidding at this point.
Here we go.
Oh, I got it.
This is a hot new jam here on WRIP. It's Lunch Lady Love.
Little W-R-I-P. Whitney Houston inspired.
In the abandoned halls where the lockers bleed rust. She stalks through the shadows, consumed by disgust. They shatter. Their cruelty and waste. Now one by one, she returns to exact her embrace. First came the bully who dumped trays on her head. She trapped him in chains, made of cold cafeteria bread. The meat grinder heard as it pulled him apart. Slow inch by inch, grinding bone, flesh and heart. The disrespect festers like gangrene and rot. She remembers each torment and gives back the lot. She's the ghost of the gravy boat, patient and mild. Her ladle now dripping with it. One after another, she drags them in style to her torture kitchen where agony smiles. Come eat what you wasted, my favorite ones. Her voice like a mother who tortures her sons. Lunch Lady Love has only begun. Begun. screams while the blender surrounded her, pouring force down till her stomach exploded, eyes wide in the dark as her body corroded. The junk who once tripped her found hooks in his skin, suspended above ovens that roasted him thin. His screams based in perfect green juices ran red while she whispered sweetly, "No more scrap," she said. The disrespect festers like gangrene and rot. She remembers each torment and gives back the lot. She's the ghost of the gravy boat, patient and vile. Her ladle now dripping with innocent bile. One after another, she drags them in style to her torture kitchen where agony smiles. Come eat what she wasted, my favorite ones. Her voice like a mother who tortures her sons. Lunch, lady love has only begun. And the slicer dissected what little remained within. Why did you break me? I only tried to feed her final caress with the cleaver's cold greed. And the school is her slaughterhouse, silent and still, where the echoes of students screams, taking them slowly through torture-filled dreams. One by one, they all break in her nightmarish schemes. Forever her children in blood-soaked extremes. Lunch, lady love will never release.
Continuous hits, WRIP. Yeah, there you go. Lunch.
I was waiting for it to swing right into Whitney. And
it kind of started like Whitney, then it would take a turn.
There's a little nod there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Except her singing style is not super Whitney at all.
Yeah, not super Whitney, but it makes you think about if there was a vengeful lunch lady out there.
That could be an entire musical too, because that could be the really disturbing song in the musical.
That'd be a great musical, The Revenge of the Ghost Lunch Lady, something like that. All the disrespect over the years.
The ghost of the gravy boats.
and she like, it's not even stalking the people down in the school. She's like, she's a ghost, and then she's like the biggest asshole children to her in life. They're all adults now, and they're living their lives. And then and then it's like she just shows up in all these different situations. So it's almost like five different movies in one.
It could be a series on Netflix.
Boom.
I was thinking about it slightly differently, that when she was a kid, the bully dumped his tray on her head. So she grows up to be the lunch lady. So she's in control of all that.
Well, that it can still start that way though, right?
Because that's the pro, that's the pre, what is it? The prelogue, the
prequel,
the beginning.
Yes. The start.
It's the origin story.
The origin story.
There you go.
That's the origin story of all of this. Yep.
So for throughout the years while she's alive, she's watching all these bullies go through the school. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, like Tony said, they're all adults and they're bankers and they're blah, blah, blah. And they're all this. And then she goes back and just gets them.
You kind of set it up like 6 feet under or something where it's, you know, at the first part, it's the flashback to the school days.
Yeah.
And it's her as the lunch lady and being disrespected and why she's developed this hate for this child and for whatever evil shit the kid's doing. And then it flashes to the future. And then it's this kid, now an adult in their life. And then she's the ghost. So then you understand why she's so vengeful. So it's not just out of nowhere, this ghost is just attacking these random people. You've already grown to hate that human because of how they were at the beginning. Or you could look at it and go, they're kids. They don't know any better. Or you could be like, they should fucking die by the ghost of the lunch lady. I'm on the lunch lady's side.
I could actually get into this.
I think it's a good idea. I mean, it's a dark comedy. It's kind of Dextery, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Very gruesome. She's very creative in her methods of torture.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'd be great. Okay. We just copyrighted it in a public space. So it's ours. I got to write a treatment now and then file it. Sure. That's an interesting idea. You can do it with AI, probably. Although YouTube would be like, this is AI, die.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That would be interesting to try and make it into a thing. Ghost of the Lunch Lady. Coming soon from RGSO. All right, that's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, maybe Lunch Lady series, who knows, then do check us out on Patreon, Apple Podcasts. You can support the program there. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online. Until next time, for Carol and Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.